This is a sermon about creating memorials, about remembering in new ways, about remembering more dangerously. The song Corinne just sang is about having love and losing love. It's a memorial to the end of a relationship. But that refrain, "I will remember you, will you remember me?" That refrain is universal. It's a promise and a hope. I will remember you, will you remember me? We all want to be remembered. We want to be acknowledged, to be seen in the fullness of our being as individuals who matter. And we all hold the memory of people in our hearts, people we loved, people who mattered to us, people whose stories we will never forget. But sometimes our individual memories fail us. Mine does. Where are my keys? The past fades. The exact details grow vague. We need a community to help us hold on to what matters. We need our community to say, "I will remember with you." Memorial Day is a moment of communal remembering. We remember those who can no longer speak their stories, who might otherwise be forgotten. At its best, Memorial Day draws us into communal space to mourn those who died serving in the American Armed Forces, to remember why they died, to remember their families and the grief they feel, to remember the physical and emotional wounds that survivors of war carry with them, to remember the horrors unleashed upon civilians by the tools of modern warfare, to remember the vast militarization happening in our country, to acknowledge the war machine in our midst. Memorials are so important. What we hold in our communal memories shapes who we are, shapes how we behave, what we value, what we do as individuals and as a nation. What we remember makes us what we are. It reminds us of our shared humanity. It's a creative act. And friends, I'm here to say our memorials could use some work. We have let our communal remembering grow weak. Let's start with thinking about Memorial Day. Dave's story about his marching in his town to the graveyard may still happen in parts of the United States, but I haven't experienced it here. I've heard lots of advertisements that promise me Memorial Day bargains. I can get a free adjustable base with any mattress purchase from Mattress Firm, and I can save on a new grill from Ace Hardware. But I haven't found much information about Memorial Day remembrances. I even spent some time looking for one, an event in Berkeley or Albany, and I couldn't find one. I could enjoy a Memorial Day yacht party or a Bacchus Memorial Day wine tasting, but no graveyard celebrations. For plenty of us, Memorial Day marks the beginning of summer more than a solemn day of remembrance. Memorial Day has become a three-day weekend, a celebration in glorious spring weather, a chance to get away. I'm not saying this to make anyone feel guilty. Dave played his horn in the marching band, remembering loved ones. Not me. I link Memorial Day to the smell of backyard barbecues and running in the backyard sprinklers. For lots of us, the day has just become part of American identity. We celebrate Memorial Day with red, white, and blue, with picnics, the occasional parade. But friends, the day is not a celebration. It's not supposed to be easy. The approach we have sanitizes war deaths. We remember our soldiers as heroes and we gloss over the rest. The day has become nostalgia and patriotic pageantry. We laud the greatest generation, those men who fought in World War II, and then we go shopping or head to the beach. This makes our war memories safe. We've drained those soldiers' death of meaning. We've stopped thinking about why they fight, what they fought for. As a country, we've forgotten the horror of war, and we celebrate the glory. Safe memorials erase the suffering. Safe memorials reinforce the status quo. Safe memorials forget there's always a story, that every soldier was once somebody's baby. Could we replace those safe memories with dangerous memories and then create dangerous memorials? On the face of it, I know that does not sound promising. Let me explain. I got this idea from German theologian Johann Baptist Metz. Metz has spent his lifetime writing about what he calls dangerous memories. According to Metz, telling a dangerous memory draws the listener into the struggles of people often forgotten by history. Instead of glossing over the trauma, an unjust death, a massacre, grinding poverty, horrific violence, a dangerous memory holds up the pain, acknowledges the struggle, gives meaning to sorrow. Metz developed his theology in the wake of World War II, in the aftermath of Auschwitz. Don't forget, he says, never forget. Never make the past safe. Metz wanted to irritate our modern consciousness, to interrupt the status quo, to imagine a different way forward. Metz is Catholic, and his theology also features a heavy emphasis on the death and resurrection of Jesus. But his ideas work for Unitarian Universalists. Our religious tradition speaks against forgetting, against dismissing, against overlooking. Our first principle reminds us of everyone's inherent worth and dignity, that everyone's experiences matter. Our fourth principle calls for a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We are called as religious individuals to ask good questions, to search for what is true, to resist easy answers. So what might a dangerous memorial look like? Dangerous memorials make demands. They call forth honest emotion. They lift up stories that might otherwise be forgotten. They speak against the status quo and create solidarity. Dangerous Memorials asks, will you remember me? We already have a dangerous memorial related to war. Maya Lin's Vietnam War Veterans Memorial. Lin designed the memorial to emphasize the names of the nearly 58,000 Americans who died in Vietnam. The names are listed in chronological order of death, etched in a V-shaped wall of polished black granite sunk into the ground. It's a memorial that emphasizes the soldiers rather than the glory of war. It feels dangerous because it doesn't hide the loss. The smooth walls, the etched names, row after row after row of names. And for everyone, there is a story. The most powerful memorial I've ever experienced happened in 1992. I went to Washington, D.C. to see the AIDS Memorial Quilt. The quilt covered the Washington Mall, laid out in neat squares, row after row of 3-foot by 6-foot panel fabric panels. Each panel remembered someone who had died of AIDS. Ryan White, Freddie Mercury, members of the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir, thousands and thousands of people in the primes of their lives. My friend Jorge, a sweet, sassy nurse, rejected by his family of origin because he was gay. Organizers put a box of tissue at every corner, and all of those boxes must have been empty by the end of the day. A quilt. It seemed so wholesome and sweet, but it was a dangerous and subversive memorial. People created that quilt when very few people seemed to care that so many were dying. President Reagan struggled to say the word AIDS. Religious leaders made serious calls for quarantining AIDS patients. I remember a demonstration where a 20-something young man screamed over and over, "You're killing us! Stop killing us!" People felt abandoned. So every single panel of the AIDS quilt cried out, "The dead were human beings with inherent worth and dignity." Every single panel cried out, "Keep me in your heart for a while." Every single panel demanded we remember the human cost of a government that shrugged its shoulders in the face of an epidemic. Always, there is a story. The quilt was one way to make AIDS deaths matter, to make them holy. That memorial was an act of resistance in the face of evil. It was dangerous, and we need more memorials like that. Because dangerous memories aren't always in the past. Dangerous memories are being made right now. Can we listen and create a memorial that helps people see the heartache and suffering and sorrow happening right in our midst? 2 weeks ago, I went to Tucson, Arizona. I went to Tucson to learn about what is happening at the border between the United States and Mexico. While I was there, I spent an afternoon in the courtroom of Judge Bernardo Velasco, watching a process called Operation Streamline. Over the course of 2 hours, 75 men and women appeared before Judge Velasco in groups of seven. They were pleading guilty to illegal entry, to trying to come into the United States without the appropriate entry papers. Most of the immigrants, after spending about 5 minutes in front of the judge, would be taken back to detention and then deported in the next few days. It was a demoralizing, dehumanizing process. And one moment stood out as particularly heartbreaking for me. Along with six other men, Sergio Mateo Hernandez, a short, stocky man from Guatemala, pled guilty to USC 1325, illegal entry into the United States. Then, Mr. Mateo Hernandez made an asylum request, saying he was afraid to return to Guatemala, that he was afraid for his life. And then, Mr. Mateo Hernandez explained that he had made his journey across the desert with his 13-year-old son, and he did not know where his son was. His son was missing. "I don't know where my son is," he said. I expected the courtroom to come to a standstill at these words. I have a 13-year-old son. If he were missing, I would want the world to look for him. I would want everyone to be searching for him. Instead, Judge Velasco told the court reporter to make a note of Mr. Mateo Hernandez's concerns. And then all seven migrants were ushered back to detention. Not a single person in the courtroom expressed any need to look for the missing 13-year-old boy. The child was gone, missing, forgotten. And that seemed to be okay. So many children go missing on the border. Federal officials lost track of 1,475 children last year. They don't know where the children are. Can we create a memorial for those children? Those kind of memorials are dangerous. They call us into solidarity and action. Our common humanity calls us to overcome the forgetfulness of victims, past and present, even if it means exposing ourselves to the anguish of others. If we don't take action, the dangerous memories drift away. Or the stories become safe, the rough edges filed down, the brutal details forgotten. We need memorials that call us into action. So tomorrow, let's remember the lives of American soldiers. Tomorrow, let's lift up their sacrifices, tell their stories, and mourn the lives cut short. Let's also rail against the militarization of American society, the border patrol patrolling the deserts, AK-47s in the hands of teenagers, urban police officers in military tanks. This is not an either-or proposition. We can remember and honor the soldiers and sailors, the Marines and medics who've died in our wars, while also remembering and honoring the stories of terrified migrant children separated from their parents. Let's keep them all in our hearts for a while. Embracing each of these dangerous memories helps bind our sorrows together in a communal struggle for change. Friends, it's time to get creative. We need to share these dangerous stories and demand to be heard. We need to create memorials that lead us all towards solidarity and transformation. We need to disrupt the status quo. We need to get dangerous. May it be so. Blessed be. Amen.